I and the brethren wish to greet you. And this is the house of the Lord. On this very special occasion, on this holy day, this day that we reach forth for these emblems in remembrance of that gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a glorious day He has given us. A time to reflect on those many gifts and blessings that He has bestowed upon us this past year, for the harvest that we have reaped, for those gifts and blessings, those healings, those miracles in our lives, for those prayers that have been answered, even those simple little prayers that we offer up, and God has heard and God has answered. We truly need to be a grateful people this day. For a call to worship, I'd like to read a few scriptures from the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi. And this was a time when those that were more righteous were gathered at that temple, Land Bountiful, where the Lord appeared to them in person after His resurrection. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And these words we might hear in our hearing when He returns once again. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise, and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that you may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. You see, Jesus' wounds were never healed completely. They're still visible as that testimony to you and to me that He is the very Savior of the world. As we consider this morning, we have two new members that are going to be partaking of their first communion this day. Carmen Thompson and Jill Fitzgerald. We're very pleased to welcome them to our congregation as members. So they will be served the communion after the priesthood have been served. We are closed communionists, but we do extend that invitation to all of those who are not yet members to be a part of this group, and we welcome you, each and every one. But we ask that you refrain from taking the communion because of that commitment, that holy commitment that we have pledged our life to in taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ this day. Shall we continue in our service with the singing of hymn 397? 397.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you grateful, Lord, that we can come and draw apart from the world, that we can come in remembrance of the sacrifice that you have made for our lives eternal. As we come this morning expectant, I pray, dear God, that we might continue in our final preparation as we might partake. As we have been blessed already by the presence of your Spirit, I pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit might continue in your house this day, that we might sense in our own personal lives how it is you wish to call us to higher ground. I am thankful, Lord, of all that you have done to prepare the way. I would ask that you might be with our brother Tony, that he might be given those words that might bring edification to your saints, that we might always remember that which you have done for us. We thank you for sustaining our lives to this point and pray that all that's done here this day might be done to bring you honor and glory forever and ever. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Brothers and sisters, life is fragile. This has been brought to my attention forcefully because of the events in my life in the past few weeks. I'm grateful to be able to be here today. A great measure of that is due to your prayers on my behalf. When a portion of our body does not function properly, the portion that sustains all of the body, there are responses that happen to us which allow us to know that we have trouble. The whole body has trouble if the heart does not function properly. And as I was recuperating these past few weeks in a class where it's monitored closely so you don't overexert yourself and have another heart attack, Sister Cynthia Ford was also in that class. Since that time, she's had other problems, and we need to uphold her. Her husband, Don, faithfully brought her to the classes. And he knows exactly what she's experiencing now. The inability to function properly. And so as we continue in this worship service, I would ask that you remember Cynthia and Don. There are so many others. The insert in your bulletin is a request for help for those who need it. As you reach forth and make your contribution, the portion of these funds given for oblation will go to help those who are in need. We don't have to look very far to see somebody in need. So would you contemplate these things as we prepare to take the offering? Our Father, you have seen fit to provide every needful thing for our lives. We find it to be an opportunity now to give to those who have in need, who have needs, and who are in problems. Lord, will you accept of these offerings which we give unto you, which will be used to help those who have trouble. We're grateful to be able to give those things which we can, Father. And I pray that you will favor us with your blessings and bless those who are in need. Be with us, Lord. We sense our dependency upon you. And I pray now that thy will shall be done in this world in which we live. I thank you for your love for us and for the gift which you gave of your Son that we might have eternal life if we so choose. Thank you, Lord. And I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have gathered here this day for a very special purpose, to remember this Jesus Christ. And this, which we do today, we do in remembrance of him. And for your consideration this morning, I would like to read from Alma, the 16th chapter, And if you recall, Alma was speaking to the people. And he sat down for a while, and Amulek stood up, expounded further to the people. And in Alma 16, starting in verse 207, "Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of all his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God has spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all are hardened, yea, all are fallen, and all are lost, and must perish, except it be through the atonement, which is expedient, should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. Yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any manner of fowl. For it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those that believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about the means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice, and encircles them with the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that has faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption." I really appreciate these words which Amulek spoke to the people. And I appreciate that he says, "I do know that this Christ would come because God had spoken it." This great and last sacrifice. And I am amazed, as we look at the very beginning of time, and even that law of Moses, how all this pointed to this Jesus Christ. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, they had partaken of that forbidden fruit. And they were not any longer in the presence of their Creator. And it says there in Genesis, the third chapter, that the Lord God made coats of skins to cover their nakedness. You see, brothers and sisters, in the very beginning, there was a sacrifice, even that sacrificial lamb, to atone, to a cover for their sins. And later on in Genesis we read that an angel appeared to Adam and asked him why he did these sacrifices. And he told the angels, "Because the Lord God has commanded me to." And this is a similitude of the only begotten, who is full of grace and truth. when the Passover was instituted, and that lamb without blemish and its blood was placed on the post of the doors that the destroyer might pass them by. And we're told that this was to be a memorial, or they were told that this was to be a memorial that they might remember what their God had done for them. Brothers and sisters, I pray and trust that all we do here this day might point to this Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, this is a memorial. The sacrament is a memorial instituted by Jesus Christ Himself as He sat there with those disciples. That those disciples and that us today might commemorate, to recall, to remember, to show respect to this Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice and death that He made for mankind. And even for you today. You know, we all have been to a funeral or a memorial service before. For an individual or a loved one or a friend. And we go to those services to pay respect to that loved one. And oftentimes in those services, we find ourselves as we're sitting in that service, and maybe you've had this experience too, we tend to reflect on our lives. And we realize life is short. And we realize we take things for granted. And brothers and sisters, today we are in a memorial service where we pay honor and respect to this Jesus Christ. And as we sit here today and prepare for this emblems which we are about to partake of, our minds oftentimes go to our lives, and we tend to examine our lives and realize we are not living up to that covenant that we made in the waters of baptism. You know, it's been about 3 years ago. And I want to preface what I want to share with you, this experience I had. I don't share this experience to compare one man to Jesus Christ. And I don't share this experience to compare two different types of services. Three years ago, I was sitting in a prayer service, as we had this morning before the communion service. And I was looking upon this table. I'm thinking about this Jesus Christ and the emblems. And my mind was drawn to a service I attended a few weeks prior. And this was a graveside service of our brother Kenny Butterworth. And our brother Kenny was in the Navy. And I had never been to a graveside service where the military and those honors were there. And besides this service that we partake of today is perhaps one of the most moving services I have ever been to. And as we as a family gathered in that tent, there were naval officers in their pure white, neatly pressed uniforms. And it came to the point of the service where they removed that flag off the casket. And they took great care to fold it with great precision. And then they took that flag and knelt before our sister Kathleen and presented that flag to her. And I remember the words, some of the words that they spoke, that this flag is a token of our appreciation for that honorable and faithful service of your loved one to his country and his Navy. And as I was sitting there in that prayer service, and as I reflected on that, my mind was drawn back to the service, our sacrament, our service. You see, brothers and sisters, when we approach this service, we should do so with great honor and respect and reverence. And oftentimes we come to this service wearing our best, neatly pressed clothing. And in a few moments, our deacons will come remove this cloth, this pure white cloth, and take great care and folding it. And brothers and sisters, we too will kneel to pay that respect for that honorable and faithful service of our Jesus Christ. A couple years ago, I was in a communion service like this today, and I was sitting over here. And I had to assist in preparing the emblems. And after we had done that, and the priest was serving, my mind was fixed upon this one individual. And you see, this individual had a rough life. And I knew this individual had not made good choices in their life. And I'll never forget this experience. My Heavenly Father gave me a glimpse of the love that He has for His creation. You see, brothers and sisters, our God loved that individual so much that individual had approached this service with a broken heart and contrite spirit, with faith unto repentance. I can't explain the love that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has for you. The closest thing I can explain or relate it to is a love that a father or mother has for their children, but is much greater than that. You see, He has many children. And I testify to you today that no matter what your situation is in life, those sins that you have committed, that if you remember this Jesus Christ this day, that you pay honor and respect to these emblems, and that if you do this in remembrance of Him, you will have His Spirit to be with you. And you will feel that cleansing power. And you will realize that those mercies can satisfy the demands of justice. As you reach forth this day, I want you to remember that you are witnessing to your Father in heaven, that you are willing to live your covenant, which you have made in the waters of baptism. That covenant is to take upon you the name of this Jesus Christ, not when you're with just a certain group of people that are like-minded, but every day of your life, whether they're like-minded people or not, He wants you to always remember Him. Not just once a month, not just once a week on Sunday. He wants you to remember Him every hour of every day. That when you wake, this Jesus Christ is upon your mind. And when you go to bed, He is upon your mind. And He wants you to keep His commandments, plural. And we have a great promise, brothers and sisters. If we do those three things, which you will hear in the prayers as they're read, that we'll have His Spirit to be with us. Brothers and sisters, this Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He is that shepherd that will leave the 99 to go after that one lost sheep. And maybe you feel like you are that one lost sheep here this day. If you seek Him out, He will come to you. He will commune with you. He will give you rest. And He will pick you up and place you in His arms. Because He loves you. No greater love hath no man to lay down his life for another. And this is what this Jesus Christ did for each one of you. And He loves you so much. And He wants you to serve Him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. That one day you might come back into His presence. Brothers, that which we, and sisters, that which we do today is of great importance. This we do in remembrance of Him. And as we prepare for what we are about to do, I would like to close by reading a scripture out of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, for us to consider. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Now, as that prayer is offered over the bread, I'd ask you to kneel facing the communion table.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of Thy body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Now, once again, as that prayer is offered over the wine, I'd ask you to kneel facing the communion table.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
This is the last sacrament service for the year 2017. It's hard to believe how quickly the years go by. And it marks, if you will, a beginning to this holiday season that we celebrate. I enjoyed very much sitting and listening to those hymns of Christmas time as our brother Mark played during this service. Those songs of rejoicing and remembrance of the birth of that babe of Bethlehem. You know, one of the jobs a pastor has is to simply be observant, to sit and to watch. I did that this morning. And I've noticed over the last months, as I've sat and I've watched, you can see how it is that the Lord's hand moves among His people. Sometimes we're not even aware. And this week I sat and I watched and I heard on Wednesday evening in our prayer service a call to repentance. And I heard last Sunday in our adult class instruction, perhaps a reminder of the condescension of God. And I thought how these two things were in many ways preparing us for this very service that we participated in today. A call to repentance that we might be worthy to stretch forth our hand and partake. And a reminder of the condescension of God. And I want to read to you out of the first book of Nephi, the third chapter, that speaks of this. And I beheld the city of Nazareth, and the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceedingly fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me and said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he said unto me, knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God after the manner of flesh. And it came to pass that I beheld, and she was carried away in the Spirit. And after she'd been carried away in the Spirit for the space of time, the angel spake unto me, saying, look. And I looked, and I beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, even the Son of the Eternal Father. You see, brothers and sisters, condescension means that you're graciously willing to do something that's considered to be beneath your dignity. And this is what Jesus Christ did for us. He left the courts of glory and was graciously willing to come and walk among the children of men, His own creation. Look to Him today and remember, saints, remember.
Thank you. almighty Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we come to the conclusion of this service, but that it might not conclude here, but go with us. We have had a great desire to bring respect and honor and glory to Thee and Thy Son this day. And now, Lord, we lay claim to Your great promises for those who follow after Thee, that You may bless these good people that have come and met here to seek You out. Not only bless them this week as we go, but allow them to see Your hand at work in their lives. We thank You, and we sincerely love You, and thank You for this opportunity to partake. We leave them, this congregation, in Your watch care, knowing that You are a God of love and mercy, that You will help us to climb up to higher ground and be prepared for the great day of the Lord ahead. And these things we pray and ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.